Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Jim, you're looking great today. Why are you all dressed up?
Oh, this, Patrick? Do you like it?
Yeah, I've never seen a suit that features characters from The Legend of Zelda before.
Well, now you have.
Makes no sense.
So, Patrick, we have been talking with Ryan Miller of Guster over the last couple days.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to wrap up that interview today.
I've really enjoyed it, listening to it back to it. I thought it was great.
You know, another thing, I want to give props to Ryan. We do these interviews from time to time. We go backstage, and usually it gets set up through a publicist,
mm-hmm.
and then they hook you up with the tour manager, and then they say, like, here's your window of time, and, you know, we try to be respectful and hit that window. And in this case, I think he, after the virtual sound check was done, he had to go do a real sound check.
He
was on a schedule here.
Yeah.
But yet, he wanted to keep the interview going.
He did.
And that was great.
Yeah, it was cool.
We appreciated that. He wanted to just keep talking. So that was a lot of fun.
We definitely learned that he expressed this, that he has empathy for, you know, what we had to do to prepare and kind of show up and be ready and hit that window, because he is kind of doing it himself all in a different, you know, field. He's hosting a TV and music program on public television.
Yes. So
yeah,
we're going to hear him talk about that right now. So this show, this one here, is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And why don't we just go to that and hear from Ryan talk about his other endeavors.
Let's do it.
We were young, 21, all those years ago. In came the fascination, everything was out of control. Alive, untried.
Ryan, let's shift gears really a little bit here. You mentioned that you are now hosting a music show on a public television station on a network, and you also have Making Friends with Ryan Miller, where you kind of go around and interview eccentric Vermonters and artists and craft people like that. How did you get into that? And, you know, what kind of experience is it for you artistically versus, you know, music creation?
I got into it because there was a woman at PBS, Vermont PBS, who had seen me do an interview actually like this, but with a kid. And she was like, it was like kids interview star. Oh, nice. Have you seen that before?
Yeah, I saw it, that it's it was online. Yeah,
it's a yours, really, yeah. really precocious girl. It's like super smart.
Very
and anyway,
funny.
She saw it. She's like, would you ever want to do like a Vermont like web program? And I was like, yeah, I just like to say yes to stuff, especially in Vermont. And I was like, hey, I don't have any friends. I moved to Vermont from New York City and I'm having a hard time finding high-functioning weirdos. And she's like, right. I was like, there we go, let's do it. So I did it. We did 13 episodes. They were web only, and it was really fun. Like,
it's very charming.
Thank you. I mean, it's me doing this. We look for high, and like, I met my best friend that way, whole thing. And I really liked it. And again, I think this is all tying into the energy stuff that I was talking before of like, what is it that I do really well? I feel like when I want to, and if someone's receptive, I can meet someone and we can skip like 65 pages of preamble, like bullshit, and get into like real stuff like pretty quickly. So I found like that I'll find people that are interesting to me. We'll try and get there, bring the audience with us. I can actually like be real and be in a, you know, so it was kind of a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bardo, the music program that I'm doing again with Vermont PBS is very similar, where it was like, well, you know, like I really like Tune Yards, and Meryl's an amazing producer, and then she made her whole record about white privilege and all this stuff, and it was very interesting to me. So I was like, So getting an opportunity to talk to these people. And the show's good, too, because we do like a five-camera shoot with really good stuff. We have an audio truck that gets mixed. And so the idea was like an Austin City Limits, which I like Austin City Limits, but I don't usually have the attention span for a half hour of live music. So it was a comedians in cars, like, let's go off-site. Let's get musicians to be who are in Vermont. Most of them haven't been to Vermont. Like, show them some cool, weird stuff or like, get do stuff they're into, so they're actually being engaged, and then we can have a cool conversation, and it feels very extemporaneous. And again, and so to answer your question, I mean, it's really amazing to me because again, this really is tapping into like the energy thing, which I think is pervasive, super super on the live level, but maybe also in our in the music that we make too, of just like trying to be sincere and be present and be intelligent and to listen and, you know, and to not be afraid to speak if you have something to say. So it, it all plays very nicely with the band in a cool way. Like it's very empowering, you know, it's an ego. Obviously this is an ego driven thing to just stand up and say, I have a song, I'm going to sing it for you.
Yeah.
So this is, it's, this has been a part of my ego development, but hopefully not in an unhealthy way, if that makes any sense.
And where is the music show available? Is
it online? And
what's it called again, so everybody knows?
It's called Bardo. A Night and the Life. I was late on the naming thing, but we'll have 8 episodes that will be out, I think, 4 now and 4 more in March.
Okay, cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, I liked the parts of the show that I watched. There was one episode where you started out the beginning and you couldn't remember the actual name of the town you were going to, and you went through like 4 permutations. That was great.
Yeah.
Hi, Troy Miller. Today we're going to meet with Marguerite Dibble, gamer, company creator, raconteur, vehement Vermonter, deviled egg, co-conspirator. Let's go have a party and land down. That's the wrong town. Landrake. Landmount. Landstown. Here we go.
The Vermont thing is really fun, but it's given me a lot of empathy for your thing because I always get really nervous and like, especially with someone with like Meryl, where I was like, okay, like I'm going to really go in and talk to this woman about white privilege. Like she just did like 4 interviews with like the New York Times and to be, you know, to not sound like a dum-dum and to be able to not, you know, not ask a boatload of questions that I could just have read somewhere. So I'm totally, again, like a lot of empathy for what people bring into it, especially like a good interview.
I noticed a couple things with this new release. One was that there's like a deluxe edition that has like a hardbound book or something with it, right? So I want to ask about that first of all, which is, in today's music business, like how important is sort of that kind of marketing or like not marketing, product. You know what I mean? Like it feels like you have to nowadays sort of go above and beyond to get a lot of fans engaged.
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, it's coming from 2 places. One is I've just become a total vinyl hound in the last like 3 or 4 years because my kids... We were listening to music every morning and I was staring at my phone trying to get the playlist. And then I was like, well, I have vinyl. Why don't I just bust it out? And then I started buying all of it. So my kids pick up the records, they flip it over, they look at the art, like are engaged in this in a whole other way. Like before they were listening to music and it was music. And now they look over and they're like, oh, this is Vampire Weekend, or this is like this, you know, this is Nina Simone, which Nina record? Oh, this is the Nina record, that, you know? So that was a huge part. So I just love vinyl and actually same with Luke and Brian too. They've been collecting too. So I think it was just like, we want to have our own music on vinyl, but there is that other idea. It's like, if you're going to get people out of the digital ecosystem, you want to have, you're basically buying like a souvenir. So you want to make it really beautiful and that kind of thing. But I don't, you know, I think we, what's so funny is I think we sold more CDs than vinyl. I was like, who is buying it? I think that might speak to our demographic.
Yeah.
Maybe more than anything.
Yeah. Well, Jim and I was talking about this the other day. It's like, I forget what your example was, but it's like, if you got the first record by a band on a CD, you want to get the rest on CD. So they're kind of friends.
So
like,
they're all together.
Yeah,
right?
You were talking about the one you bought that like it had to go with its friends.
Yeah.
The CDs were already there.
But that's how, that's how I feel. That's the... There's a, you know, the band The Glands? Yeah. So like
such a cool band.
Man, and
so
like
great songs.
And it's and like The Glands, that the last, not the one, not the posthumous one, but the one that they, The Glands, like one of my favorite records ever. Yeah. And then I saw that they had a box set on vinyl and from New West, and I was like, I gotta have it.
I gotta get it.
Like I just need it. I need those records on vinyl, that kind of thing. So yeah, I think for the product, and we try and do merch items that are funny or
there's like a throw blanket or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we really just don't ever want it to look like a cash grab, because it's really like, it's great when those things make money, but you don't want to. I think there was just some bands we saw early on that had like koozies and lighters and frisbees, and it was like, it's fine. I don't begrudge anybody for doing it. It's hard enough as it is.
Right.
But I think we just don't want it to read that way. Like, it's, we want it to be a sense of humor or to be like, I don't know, at least utilitarian in some way.
Well, then the other thing I noticed, you have like a contest or something where people can win, where you'll come like play at their house.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's supposed to be announced soon. I think it was a way to incentivize like pre-orders or something. Like everybody was automatically entered into this thing, and then we have to find somewhere to play at their house, which is funny. I mean, we've done stuff like this before. Like we, right when the weed was legalized in Colorado, we were like, if anybody in Colorado wants to host us, we'll come over your house and get super high and play music in your garage all day with you. And we did, and it was awesome. So, I mean, like, when these things are done well, they're fun for everybody.
Again, I think that goes back to sort of like not being above the audience, right? Like,
yeah.
There are some bands that would never, ever consider doing something
and
like
listen,
that.
And listen, I mean, I don't want to overstate. Like, sometimes it's like at the end of the show, it's like you have an after show and there's 25 people want to talk to you, or 30 or 40. And I'm like, I'm just tired. I just gave everything. And I don't, like, I'm not always my best self, but Brian is always out there, you know, Adam's going out there. So I don't want to overstate like how much I love it. And I'm sure I've been a dick to people or whatever, but generally I'm very appreciative and I am very empathetic to the fan experience because I still am so engaged with contemporary music. So it's very easy for me to flip the script and be like, you know, like I met that guy from Bahamas. I met him a few times, and then the other, he came through town, and I was just like, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm just going to have to talk to you because I really like your music and I have some questions. And so like, I know, like, I'm like, I don't want to bother you, but I'm going to bother you but it's going to be okay. I promise we're going to have a good conversation. So like, I wear this hat of your hat all the time.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for doing your homework.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. This has been a lot of fun. We've really been looking forward to it. We have one of our listeners who actually tweeted yesterday a picture of you with him and his wife backstage.
Oh, really?
Adam Coop, in Louisville. That was because Jim put a thing out. Hey, does anybody have any questions for Ryan?
Cool.
And Coop immediately replied with this picture saying, tell him he's awesome. Look at this.
Not a question,
but a picture of me with him and my wife. Nicole.
Yeah, maybe I was nice. Maybe I was nice after the show that night.
It looks like you were in a good mood that night. Yeah.
That night.
Somewhere
night.
Here.
Yeah. It was just
here
the,
it is.
Yeah. The other day.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what year that
That's
was.
That's not recent.
No.
No.
I definitely have less hair now.
So, Patrick, not to pile on at all, but you may be able to relate to what Ryan just said about seeing an old photo of himself and noticing maybe he had more hair in that photo.
That's right. Yeah, he knew that it was a while back. I can relate to that. But he's still got some pretty decent hair going.
He does.
I was impressed. It kind of was going at different angles.
Yeah.
I really liked the phrase he used for the people he interviewed, though, the high-functioning weirdos.
Yes.
That really resonated with me.
I wish we had named this show the
high-functioning
weirdos. That would have really been ideal, don't you think?
Well, maybe the next one.
Yeah, that's right. when we get sued on this one,
when something happens.
All right, now we have a backup. That's good.
We've been sued by our own corporation. I don't know if that was possible.
Yeah, would we have to pay Ryan royalties if we use high functioning weirdos?
I don't know. I think he gave permission at the beginning, of this interview for anything. So
that's right.
We got it.
All right, good. So we're all set
Thanks,
there.
Ryan.
That was great. That was really fun. Seems like a cool guy. And you know, they do these crazy house shows from time to time,
including the one
in Colorado and others. And so I just want to throw us out there. You know, next time you come through the DC area, if you want to play here in the family room, Guster.
That's right.
We've hosted shows here before, and you can do that.
Wouldn't that be fun? That would be amazing to have those guys here.
All right.
And if anyone's in Colorado listening and you want us to come sit in your garage, we will do that. Just let us know.
We can make that happen. Or if you want to just send us free stuff.
Yeah. Gifts.
We'll accept that too.
That's right.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Probably a good idea at this point. It's Friday. It's
Friday.
The weekend.
It's Friday the weekend. And next week, we're going to do one of our series of countdown
episodes. I'm getting pretty excited about this. I think it's going to be kind of epic.
A big famous band, and we're going to count down their songs based on a sort of like an informal poll that we did among our listeners.
That's
so
right.
That's really going to be fun. You will want to hear that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be big.
All right. Please listen to the show.
Every day.
Please rate and review the show on iTunes. Please visit suburbspod.com.
Yes.
And you can see show notes and you see lists of songs that we play on the show and all of that.
Browse the database.
You can email us.
Yep.
rock@suburbspod.com, or you can call 612-440-1984. Leave a message. We'll put your voice on an upcoming episode.
Mm-hmm.
Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. All right. Let's play out here with the song that I first heard from Guster all those many years ago.
Yes.
It's called Amsterdam.
Sweet.
It's a good little jam.
All right.
You guys will like that. It's Rock at the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Hard time finding high functioning weirdos.